Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
The last days. We all know the scenario. We know the signs of the times. We won't be caught off guard. It will be easy to tell when it happens. Or will it? There is one last days teaching that runs contrary to practically everything you know and assume about the last days. It would be easy to discount except for the source of this contrary teaching. The source is none other than the Lord Jesus Himself. It is wise to consider the words of the one who is Himself returning, and He paints quite another picture of the last days, a picture in which it will be very easy to be caught off guard. It is very much in our favor to find out what He said so that we can be prepared for the final days before His appearing. Stay tuned right here on Skies Revival Radio as we take a close look at Jesus' words concerning the last days.
I see you when you're all alone. I see you when you're crying, when your heart's without a home. I feel it just the same, 'cause I'm standing right beside you. Don't think you are alone, 'cause my heart is
Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. We're taking a close look at Jesus' own words concerning the end times and His second coming. I personally don't think there can be any higher authority on the end times than Jesus Himself. So it's very much worth our time to take a close look. What we find there is very surprising and even shocking, because it is so contrary to our fictional books and movies on the end times. We have a fictional account of what will take place in the last days, and we have Jesus' account of the last days. If they are different, stick with Jesus. Don't even go near anything else, because it could deceive you and lull you into a false security, so you end up getting caught off guard. We're going through a study right now based on the book Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. I hope that you have been finding it enjoyable and instructive. If you have missed any chapters, you can easily get a copy of the book on Amazon. It's very inexpensive. You can also look up our website, Skies Revival Radio, where you'll find the previous messages archived for your convenience. We're finishing up chapter 23 today, and I hope it will make you think. I actually hope it rocks your boat. There's nothing like a rocking boat to make us hold tighter onto Jesus. We're going to talk about the days of Noah now. I'm going to read from Luke 17, starting at verse 26. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Jesus is teaching on the end times, as we see here in Luke 17, flies in the face of nearly every theory in every branch of the Christian church. Jesus himself says that in the time preceding his coming, the world will be eating and drinking and marrying just like in the days of Noah. They will be buying, selling, planting, building. It will be life as normal, except that the world will be extraordinarily caught up in the pursuits of the world. And this is a serious warning to us, and this lesson is devoted to sounding the alarm in order to wake up the sleeping bride of Christ. It adds emphasis to the parable of the soils, which we reviewed in the last lesson, by telling us outright that the last days will be characterized by worldly pursuits, by an obsession with worldly pursuits. The very issues mentioned in the parable of the soils, that is, all the cares of life and chasing after wealth, are now plainly stated as the distractions which will cause great and small to be swept away at his coming. There's no prophetic imagery here as there was in the parable. So we must be on the alert. Be honest with yourself, because no one else will pay the consequences but you. Do you build your life around your boat, your motorcycle, your car, your home, your sports, your furnishings, your cottage, your electronic gadgets, your state-of-the-art phone, your clothes, or a combination of all the above? In an appalling survey mentioned in a popular magazine, when men were asked what was the most important thing in their life, more than half answered their car. That is a truly sad commentary on our society. Because that is the prevailing mindset, do you fall into it as well? Are you influenced by the unchecked rush for worldly goods and toys? If you live in this world, you probably are. This is the time to wake up, shake the cobwebs off your head, and remember Jesus. He is coming back, and his reward and punishment are with him. He gives clear warning of the impending doom awaiting those Christians and non-Christians who have traded their eternal inheritance for the passing pursuits of the world. Though we mentioned it in an earlier lesson, we're going to go back to the illustration of Lot's wife, because it is the very next thing mentioned by Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. This is Luke 17, 28 through 30. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. After stating the relative normalcy of the world just before he returns, Jesus gives us this cryptic message. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life shall preserve it. That's Luke 17, 32 and 33. At first glance, it seems, to simply reinforce one of the end-time scenarios where believers must be strong in the face of persecution during a period of very recognizable persecution. But if we remember Lot's wife in the context of the story, we see that she was not running away to save her spiritual life. She was seeking to save her earthly life in Sodom. Her sin was not so much the looking back, it was looking back with regret. She lamented leaving all of her good things, all the good things of life, behind in the city. God had gone very far out of his way to save her life, even to the point of delaying the impending disaster until she was safely away. And rather than having gratitude for her life being spared, she had regret that she was losing so much. She was caught up in the spirit of the place, buying, selling, and building. And this is a great lesson for us. Anyone who has been through a boom time knows what a heady thing it is. People lose all sight of reality and are consumed with the good things of this life and with making money. The time right before Jesus' return may be just like that. In fact, Jesus says it will be just like that. It may be a heady time where people are exhilarated with the prospect of wealth and all of its trappings. It will be the spirit of the age, and no one will be immune. Do you see these things now? Emphatically, yes. Is it a sign of his near return? Possibly. I sure hope so. Jesus is warning us not about the fear of losing our physical life so much as the fear of losing our carnal lives. If we try to save our earthly ambitions, we will end up losing our eternal life. These are very sobering words in the midst of a society filled with giddiness. So the great lesson of his coming is to be on the alert, alert to life in Christ. We are not to be caught asleep, that is, caught up in the pursuits of this world. And that's why he will say to the sleepy virgins, "I never knew you." Those who use the name of God but serve the interests and pleasures of this present age actually never did know the true God. As we have been covering in previous lessons, Jesus has commanded us that if we would come after him, we must pick up our cross and follow him. And that cross is applied to those who live in the Western Hemisphere, is putting to death our obsession with the things of the world, putting to death our worldly ambitions to make seeking the Lord to be our number one priority. The Lord teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us." But we have flipped it around, and we have made up a new gospel. Seek ye first all these things, and then hope that God is added to it. This is the way we live in practice. And so we think we can have the world, love the world, have the approval of the world, have the esteem of everyone, and still have the true salvation of God. Not possible. Not possible. God calls us to a crucified life. God calls us to forsake seeking after the things of the world in order to seek after the Lord. We are told in 1 John that if anyone loves the world or the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in them. It is a choice. It is the world or it is Jesus. This is a message which is lost today and is going to cause many to be caught off guard. Jesus himself tells us that we cannot love God and money. Try putting this up against all the fancy preaching that goes on today, that we can be full of all the trappings of the world and that it's a sign of God's approval. Well, Jesus said we cannot love God and money at the same time. We have to choose between the two, and one of them will be our master. These are very sobering words, and this is the time for sobriety. This is the time for us to be looking up, for our salvation draws near. If you're listening to this message, take an inventory of your life and see what things are distracting you from seeking first the kingdom of God. And when you find them, put them on the altar. Say, Lord, I don't want to be so caught up in sports anymore. I want to be caught up in you. Lord, I don't want to be caught up in my business so it takes all of my time. I want my business to be seeking you. Lord, I don't want to have all of my material things occupying all of my heart. I want my heart to belong to you, Lord Jesus. These are the types of earnest prayers we need to pray right now so that we will be ready to meet Jesus and will not be caught off guard. But unfortunately, despite all of Jesus' warnings, for the most part, the church is very careful to do everything except wake up the sleeping bride of Christ. You'll find preachers everywhere who do anything to keep their people from being alerted to any possible danger in their lukewarm lifestyle, in their love-the-world lifestyle. You'll hear countless sermons on our assurance of salvation, that he loves us just as we are. As long as we slipped up our hand while every head was bowed and every eye was closed, we're great, good to go, safe. Our commitment to Christ seems to end right there. We can stay right in our comfortable worldly lifestyle without any interference at all in many churches. Or you'll hear an infinite number of sermons on how God wants to bless us with an extravagant earthly life. And so the naive are carefully left in their slumbering state. This is the essence of the new gospel that is so prevalent today. Come as you are, stay as you are, no change required. This is not the conversion we see in the scriptures. When someone in the Bible is converted, he undergoes a radical transformation. He is changed. And so throughout history, we see those who find Christ become an unstoppable force in the world, going forth to do exploits in his name, even to laying down their lives for the gospel. But we are guilty of tiptoeing around the sleeping virgins also. How many times do we have an opportunity to speak up for Christ only to find that we don't want to be offensive? They will see our light instead. So we go on our way without saying a word. We've just quietly walked around someone in such a way as to make sure we don't wake them up. We wouldn't want to cause them alarm. Well, we here in the Fellowship of the Unashamed must be just that, unashamed. Rather than walking lightly so we don't offend anyone, we must go forth with boldness and wake everyone up, everyone that we can. We must be willing to do as Lot did. He went and woke up his sons-in-law in the middle of the night to tell them the city was about to be destroyed. The Bible says that it seemed like foolishness to them. He was compelled by his concern for them to do something that seemed ridiculous to them. He did what had to be done. When they wouldn't listen, they perished in fire and brimstone. We must likewise be compelled by our concern for others. We must emphatically try to rouse people from their worldly distractions in order to save their lives. We are told that after the Titanic was damaged, the crew went frantically through the halls trying to warn the passengers. However, rather than being alarmed, they found the majority of people thought that the ship couldn't possibly sink. People proceeded nonchalantly to see what the commotion was about, and most of them went to a watery grave. What we must remember is that just because the passengers didn't believe there was danger did not excuse the crew from doing everything in their power to save them. Part of the crew was rescued, and we can only hope that they had the peace of conscience that they had done everything possible to warn of the danger. Likewise, even though we might be saved, we will also want the assurance that we did everything we could to rescue the perishing. I know these are all sobering words, and they are good for us to hear. It is time to cast off all of the confusion and all the entanglement with the world and to seek after the Lord with all of our heart. We do not want to be caught off guard. We want to be dressed in His robes of righteousness to be ready and waiting for His coming. May the Lord bless you as you consider these things. As you go to the altar and you put these distractions on the altar, may the Lord bless you and cause real personal revival to grip your soul. We look forward to getting together next time. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitefield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website.
You're the living water. crush my soul. You lighten up my journey. When in your presence I will go. When like a sheep I will.